You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And you can become non-seducible by the devil. That God will never have to worry about you again. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint as to when you know you reach that place. When he just lets everything you want come to you. Whatever you think, he gives it to you. He says, they aren't going anywhere. They're mine. And he knows he can give you that, and you will turn around and bless somebody else with it. But when he suspects that there are areas of your life where you will walk away, he won't give it to you. Now, he promises blessings here, but the blessings are contingent upon verse 1. If you fully obey my commandments. Now, we have to find out what the commandments are. What's he saying? It's more blessed to give than receive. If you walk in giving more than receiving, then God can give you more. The limit of your income from God is determined by your outgo to others. See, here's what God is after. God is not after blessing us. He is after making us blessings. Because then we represent him. People who say, nobody cares about me, nobody's doing nothing for me, that's a reflection of the fact that you are reaping what you've sown. The Lord will bless you with good crops and healthy cattle, verse 8. And listen to this, and prosper everything you do when you reach your destiny. He will change you into a holy people dedicated to himself. This he has promised to do if you will only obey him and walk. The Bible says, in his ways. But here's what it means. If you walk like him. Here's the question you must ask yourself. My response to the needs of this person or to whatever this person is my response the same way God would respond? When I thought I was doing something once and I went to God and I said, Father, I said, I treat people the way I want to be treated. And I thought I was doing something because that's what the Bible says. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Holy Spirit said, nope, that's not enough. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, treat people the way you want me to treat you. Boy, do you know that changed me? Because I don't want God to become angry with me and destroy me. I don't want God to walk away from me and not care that I'm hurting. So therefore, I can't do that to people. So in this passage, he's saying he will change you into a holy people dedicated to himself. So if you're dedicated to God, you're holy. You're not holy because you don't smoke. You're just smart. You're not holy because you don't drink. You're just wise. Holiness means I'm dedicated to God. And who he is reflected through me. See, you can be positionally holy and still get caught up in pornography. That doesn't mean that you are an ungodly, disgusting sinner. It means that in your position, you have not yet learned to practice impulse control. And when the flesh says, turn that on, go to that website, you lack the ability to say no. Now, how does God want to handle that problem? We're running out of time. I'm going to show you this real quick. How does God want to handle that problem? The Holy Spirit is not taking those bad habits away the way Pentecostals want you to believe. Come on, bring it down to the altar. Bring your cigarettes down to the altar. So there's 75 packs of cigarettes down at the altar that the leaders can now take and split up and do what they need to do. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Bear with me in my fault. But that doesn't mean that you've given it up. It just means you responded to the emotion of the moment and you brought your cigarettes down. I mean, you don't see too much of that now. Cigarettes cost too much. Back then, you bring your cigarettes, $1.25 a pack. Take my cigarettes. Now you're like, they $5. I'll give you one. Preacher, take one. There you go. I'm all right. But you see, all of those things were spiritual gymnastics in Pentecostal churches. We're only dealing with the external. What good is it to paint the outside of the house and the inside is rat and roach infected? You understand? Now, God knows that you're going to come to him with an abundance of issues. Every issue that we have is not solved on a spiritual level because they're not all satanic. Some of God's people have mental health issues and need therapy, and there's no shame in it. There's no devil to bind. You may be classified with bipolar disease. You may be classified as schizophrenic. You may be classified as having personality disorders. You may even have multiple personality disorder, which is a result of usually abused people who create alter egos to defend them so that they can always have a healthy disconnect. And you've come to Christ, but you have not dealt with all of those yous. There's no stigma to it. You need help. Now, here's how God wants to deal with that. Not through the abundance of laying on of hands and all those other issues. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11, well, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. In other words, Jesus first went down into the lower parts of the earth, and then he rose and went up into the third heaven so that he may bring fulfillment in everything between heaven and hell. We are part of that fulfillment. Now, it is the plan and the will and the desire of God to make sure that we are whole. Amen. Not just saved, but whole. Yeah. So how does he do that? It says here that he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some, for some reason, the King James separates pastor teacher, but it's only fourfold, not five. Because the teaching gift is found over in Romans when Paul says, those of you that have the gift of teachings, wait on your teaching. But here, this is not the teaching gift. This is the role of the pastor to teach. Now, I need you to go on. He says, now, again, the King James says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, in the Greek, this verse, verse 12, here's what it's literally saying. That God saw that when we come to him, we will not be whole. So he gave us these ministry gifts. And you see the word here, perfecting of the saints. That's the King James translation for a Greek word that means equipping. But the equipping, by definition, is not to prepare you to be an usher. Because when you look at the verse, there is a misunderstanding. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So one could come to a conclusion that my job is to teach you how to be a good praise team member. The work of the ministry. No, that's not what it's saying. A better understanding of this verse comes to this conclusion. God put the ministry gifts in place to help you reach your destiny, so that by doing so, you fulfill ministry. In other words, our task is to help you find where you're supposed to be. Too many people are where they should not be. Why? Because they don't have an apostolic, prophetic, pastoral person. So the ministry gifts are designed to help you be what you're supposed to be. Too often we take square pegs and try to put them in round holes and force the issue by saying, I believe God. So God gives ministry gifts to help you find your destiny. Oftentimes people will come to a pastor and say, what am I supposed to be doing? The pastor can't tell you because he or she has to help you find it, which means you're searching. Now, what does that entail? That God knows we're bringing a whole bunch of baggage. Insecurity, fears of failure, phobias that were there from the beginning of our lives that we never realized until we get older. Fear of relationships because of bad experiences. The Holy Spirit doesn't help all those things. But through systematic study of the Word of God and careful treatment by your ministry leaders, they will help to guide you down the road where God can provide the healing. We are often trying to receive from God what we are incapable of holding on to. Why? Because we just want to have a good time. Come on, let's just praise him, praise him. Praise him till the trouble goes away. Okay, let's do that. I am a person who believes you can praise him till the trouble goes away. But I'm also pragmatic enough to know that it's coming back. There are moments when I become overwhelmed with the responsibilities of my office. And I leave the office, I go home, I put on Everybody Loves Raymond or Golden Girls or whatever wants to make me laugh, you know, the Browns or something. And I know that I'm only laughing for a half an hour. But tomorrow I got to be right back at this office and deal with the same things all over again. But I take a moment. One of my therapists told me, said, you know, Eric, happiness is a place you visit. He said, and maybe you need to just visit more often. My point is that many of us try to apply Deuteronomy 28 without applying Ephesians 4. Who is in your life to help you reach that evolutionary point where you decide, I don't want to be like this anymore? I don't want to keep leaving church and being miserable. Bad marriages usually come from misunderstandings of your spouse. The number one cause for divorce is unrealistic expectation. You expected that man or that woman to be something that they could not be. And now you're upset because they're really showing you that they're incapable of being what you want. And that's when you make the monumental decision. I don't want this anymore. Then the person comes back. We learn this when it comes to domestic violence. There's something called the cycle of violence that abused women often are exposed to. And in the cycle of violence, there are four distinct areas. I'm not going to bother you with all of them. We'll just focus on the one that's germane to my point. There is one that when the man hits the woman and he beats the woman, he viciously beats her, and because she's stuck in the relationship, psychologically stuck, she can't get out, she's experiencing what's called the battered woman syndrome. And this is a legal term now that has been validated in the courts, that some women, they kill these guys and the juries will find them innocent because they've given in to this battered woman syndrome. But there in the cycle of violence, there is a time when the man comes back and he says, I'm so sorry that I did that. Please forgive me. And it's called contriteness. And he's saying, I don't want to leave you. I don't want you to leave me. I'm really sorry. And for maybe 6 months or so, he's real nice. He's real attentive. And you now let down your guard. And you're like, he's being real nice to me now. He's telling me what I want to hear. And the wolf and the fox in him is setting you up for the next abusive thing. And see, what will happen is, that's why it's called a cycle. He knows that when you get back to the violence, you're going to still be there. And all he has to do is be contrite. You see that cycle? And we have that same type of cycle with God. When we are down, we love him, we fast, we pray. And then when he begins to bless us, we back off and go back to that same lukewarm condition as the church at Laodicea. And then when trouble comes, God sees that we come back to him when trouble comes. And, oh, Lord, I praise you. I will glorify you. And then when he blesses you, we find this cycle in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, just about every chapter starts off with, in the beginning of that great book, it starts off with, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then it's followed by the Lord sending in another nation to bring them and put them into bondage. They would repent. He would get them out. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The cycle kept going until one time the Bible said the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he raised up a nation to put them into bondage. And they went to God and said, deliver us, and he said, call the God that you've been serving. Don't call me anymore. This time they wept. They repented from the heart. And he could raise up judges, and he could raise up people who will help them for a time. And the generation of repentance doesn't all that repentance doesn't always pass over to the next generation. And some of us are in that position. Many of us are in this church today because of somebody in our life telling us about Jesus. But it died with us. Since we've been here, we've never told a single person about Jesus. It's time to go to the other side. It's time to become practical with Christianity. It is not the lifestyle of the rich and famous that you're hearing from all the preachers all over America right now. The prosperity doctrine does not work in third world countries. You can't tell a person to chase dollars when they're trying to take food out of a garbage can. I got a postcard from Bill Devlin. He's over in Sri Lanka. And he sends me pictures of these people that he's helping. He went to that place where all the folks were killed. I think it was Mother's Day when they had that great tragedy. And he sent back and asked for 50 churches to give $1,000 so they could rebuild churches. But we were already giving him $2,500. You see, we forget that God put us in the world. According to Deuteronomy 28, we'll see this next week, and I'll give you a little quick glimpse of it. He said, not only will I bless you, but you will have the ability to lend and not to have to borrow. Can you imagine how dynamic that is? That from this day forward, when you move into Deuteronomy 28, you won't have to borrow a dime from anybody anymore, but you will become God's banker. I love blessing others, and God always gives it back. When I had the missionary in my car, taking him to the train station, God said, I need you to take him and buy him 2 suits. I said, okay. I'm thinking we were going to go to Men's Warehouse, Walmart. God said, take him, because he's a missionary. I mean, come on. What's he going to put on in India? And God said, no, take him where you go. I'm like, well, Mom, we have a situation. And we went. The Lord encouraged us to buy him 2 suits. And then he blessed. You see, as long as you stay in the same place of receiving, you will never push or pull on God. You will always see why you can't do it. The people of God in the book of Haggai, the temple was rebuilt, but it was in decay. And they, like the 21st century Christians, said, we ain't giving our money to that. Look, I don't have it. I got my own bills. I got my own needs. And so they decided, we are not giving to the house of God. Forget it. God said, wait a minute. Why are you going home to beautiful houses and my house is in disrepair? He said, all right, I'm going to blow on your money.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go and To My Blessing, or the program number 06419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. invites you to three nights of discussions that will empower you to grow closer with the Lord and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's happening Wednesday, July 17th, Thursday, July 18th, and Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. It is Bishop Lambert's heart for every believer to understand the principles of God, develop a renewed mind, and strive to achieve an abundant life in Christ. Plan now to be a part of these three nights of interactive discussions that will enlighten believers as we prepare to develop and move to the other side of growth in our life with Christ. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday, July 17th through Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly. Call 215-885-2585 for more information. Join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian M. Weatherspoon as they present another in-depth study of ministry training at the next Making of a Minister session on Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come prepared to delve into biblical exegesis and learn how to craft your sermon. These sessions are free, but you must register to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit www.betheldeliverance.org. Don't miss these empowering sessions that will equip you with the proper tools for preaching and teaching the Word of God. We look forward to seeing you at the next Making of a Minister session, Saturday, July 27th, at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Iron sharpens iron.
The Climbing Higher radio broadcast features dynamic teaching brought to you by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and the media ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Through this outreach, believers are empowered to walk in daily victory. Non-believers are enlightened to seek a relationship with the Lord. Families are strengthened through teachings that examine dynamics of their relationships. And overall, the Lord is being lifted up through the airwaves around the globe. We invite you to partner with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church as we seek to impact our culture with the unadulterated Word of God and the power of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God changes lives, and in these last days, we need to reach as many souls as possible with the message of truth. Jesus saves. He not only came to save our souls from eternal damnation, but He came to give us abundant life while here on this earth. You can help us reach the world with this message. Simply go to the BethelDeliverance.org media tab and scroll down to the Bethel Media Outreach Partnership link to safely give online with a one-time gift, or you can set up recurring payments for monthly donations. It's safe, quick, easy, and impactful. For more information or to speak with a representative, call 215-885-2585, extension 409. We thank you for standing with us as we continue to further the kingdom of God.